Okay, we're going to be beginning tonight a series on contemporary topics in Ebenezer. Thanks to Yudin Mulge for arranging this, and hopefully it'll be a positive experience. The topic that we'll talk about tonight is something that I think is Shavu L'chol Nefesh. That's the issue of confidentiality and shiduchim, when to disclose confidential information in the context of a shidduch. And I'm open to other topics that we should talk about down the road. Please, I'm happy to hear feedback in terms of what direction to take this this year. The topic of confidentiality in shidduchim is something that obviously has high stakes in both directions. We have to balance the need for individuals to find their appropriate shidduch with not creating unfortunate situations of a marriage falling apart due to lack of honesty and lack of information about past histories, as unfortunately we see not infrequently at the Beis Din, where we deal with such situations and the fallout from what could have been prevented had people had a little bit more common sense and proper direction. So what we'll discuss briefly is what kind of information should be disclosed, and then a little bit about when to disclose it and who is responsible for such disclosure. We're going to begin with a fascinating analysis of the Stipler, Kehilas Yaakov in Yevamos, Siman Mem Dalet in the new editions. Kehilas Yaakov is not a tshuva sefer, but here, in rare form, he has what essentially amounts to a tshuva, even though Kedarko, he has this proviso that this is all le'ion, le'lo'ion kol etzarech, le'alach v'olamaisa, halavai we should come to the darga of the Stipler's le'lo'ion kol etzarech. The situation the Stipler is dealing with is a person who had a surgical procedure that may have rendered him a psuadaka, but under circumstances is essentially nitel beitza achas, in a situation where most posts can assume that that did not render him a psuadaka, and therefore he was mutter lava lakahal, there's no problem marrying freely a nice Jewish girl. The question was, and the medical indication was that he would have no problem having children going forward. Shaila was whether he has to disclose his past history to a prospective spouse. So the Stipler deals with this on two prongs. Number one, is there potentially an issue of kiddushei tos for failing to disclose such information? And number two, even if there's no kiddushei tos, what about gneivas das and onos dvarim? So in terms of kiddushei tos, just a word of introduction. The Gemara, the Mishnah tells in Ksubas Ayin Beis and Beis, the Sugin the Afayin Gimel, that if a woman has a certain mum, and a person is Mekadesh a woman, Almanas She'ein La Mumin, and turns out she has mumin, that was falsely presented, then that's grounds to end the marriage with that Ksuba. If Kin Sastam, and then Imsuba Mumin, so that's Machlogas Amarayim. Is that a Savik Kiddushin? Is it, it's presumably taste, it is Tates of Luxuba. Do you require a get Midivrayim? Do you require a get Misafik? The Gemara doesn't discuss explicitly the parallel situation if you have such a mum in a man that wasn't disclosed. Beis Shmuel and Siman Kuf Nundal, it assumes the same is true for a man, and there the implication potentially would be that if a man is found to have a mum that was undisclosed, then it would be grounds for forcing him to divorce his wife and pay the ksuba, kofin legarish. Would he require a get? So Pashtus is, you would require a get even under those circumstances. That's the Beis Halevi's tshuva in Chelet Gimel, Simen Gimel. Ramosha has a series of tshuvas in which he argues that under certain extreme situations of a mum gadol, something that no one would live with under normal circumstances, perhaps you don't even require a get, where a get is impossible to procure. Ramosha's cases are, he has in Chelek Aleph, Evan Ezer, Ayin Tes, and Pei, a case of someone with severe mental illness, a case of someone without Gevuras Anoshim, incapable of having children, a case of someone who is a absolute mummer. So under certain circumstances, it could be there are grounds for even absolving a marriage absent where there is no possibility of having a get without a get. Be that as it may, so the way the Stipler analyzes the issue at hand from the perspective of Kiddushei Tos is interesting. He quotes a Tshuvas Chasam Sofer, which you have in the Marmor Kamos in front of you on the second page. The Chasam Sofer is in Chelek Orachayim Simen Samachay, quoted in the Piskei Tshuva Yerideya Simen Lamed Aleph, discussing the following situation. The Mari Minz is quoted by the Ramah in his Akdama to the Toras Chatas. Toras Chatas is a standalone work that the Ramah wrote on Yisr V'Heter. So he quotes the Ramah often in
Yisrael Hetzer will tell you that we're meko about certain things, b'shas hadchak, we're meko b'makom hesen v'ruba. And the Ramah explains, based on the Ma'ariv Mins, why are we allowed to be meko b'makom hesen v'ruba, b'makom onik Shabbos, b'makom b'shas hadchak? Because in principle, we paskin like the more makel opinion. The Ramah is machmir for other shitas and rishonim, but where there are other extenuating circumstances, you have the right to be makel. So that license to be makel under extenuating circumstances, does that only apply to the person who has the hesed ruba himself? Or let's say I'm in business, so it's going to be hesed ruba for me, but why does that allow me to sell it to someone else who isn't in the situation of hesed ruba? It's not his loss. So I'm going to give him something that's not lechachila to eat, in a situation where he could just as well go to the next guy and buy something that's kasher l'cholodeis. So the Chasam Sofer discusses this issue, and he assumes that, yeah, under most circumstances, even though we have a kul of hesem ruba, that's only for the balabas himself, that's not for someone else. Maybe if it's a makas medina, he says, in a situation where all food items under these circumstances are have to rely on this kula, so then you can give it to someone without disclosing. Except if you have people who are known to be machmir, maybe you'd have to tell them. So the Chazon Sofer thing said, if I have something which is only mutter b'di'eved based on a shas hadchak situation, I'm not allowed to sell it to someone else without disclosing the whole case history. And if I do so, that could potentially be considered to be a mekachtos. So the stifler asks, why do we say the same thing over here? So he's relying on a kula that he's not of suadaka to allow him to marry. But why should the girl rely on that kula? She can marry many other fine guys who have no shaila about being of suadaka. So why don't you say the same thing? So the Kilos Yaakov suggests maybe there's a difference between Mekach and Memkar and the situation of Inyane Ishis and Inyane Yufsin. He points to a Gemara in Ksubas and Daf Kuf Aleph on the days. The Gemara there says that when it comes to Chai Ve'lavin, if a person marries a Amman L'Kohen Gadol, Gusha Chalusa L'Kohen Hedya, you have a situation of Chai Ve'lavin where not allowed to marry. There used to be such Kedushin Schal, but you're not allowed to marry such a person. And the woman failed, the man failed to disclose, the woman failed to disclose the situation. So there, you still are entitled to a ksuba. So it sounds like we don't treat that as kiddushei tos, we don't treat that as a potential mekach tos. So you think that maybe there's a difference between mekach and memkar and inyane ishus, which will develop in light of his second prong in a moment. In terms of his second prong of gnevas das, so once he establishes that he doesn't think there are grounds for kiddushei tos if you don't disclose over here, what about Gnevas Das? So here he has a fascinating analysis based on a Gemara in Yevamos, which is where this is coming from in Yevamos. So the Gemara there, you have it in Yomar Makamos on source number one, Daf Mem Hei Min Aleph, the Gemara in Yevamos. So we have a Machlokes Tanayim. What's the status of the progeny of Eved V'Akum HaBabas Yisrael? If you have a non-Jewish father and a Jewish mother, what's the status of the kids? So that's a Machlokes Tanayim. One opinion says the Vlad is a Mamzer, the other opinion says the Vlad is a Kosher. Even if the Vlad is a Kosher, it's still Asur LaKohen, so the daughter of that union can't marry a Kohen. But we assume Lalacha, the Vlad is Kosher, aside from not being able to marry a Kohen, you can marry freely among the Jewish people. So the Gemara here has a story of someone in the time of the Amorayim who was a product of such a union, and he was having trouble finding a Shidduch. So he went to some of the Amorayim and said, what's my status? So the Gemara says over here that when he came in front of Rava, Rava gave him advice. He said, O Gali Anasa Basminach, either go into Galus or marry someone with a similar background. So Rashi there explains, Gali, say la Galus, but Malcolm Shalom Yakirucha, Vinalucha Basisal Cheri. You should go to Galus where they won't recognize you and you might marry a nice Jewish girl. So isn't that a little bit strange? He's going to go and present himself as someone that he's not. Isn't that a problem of Gnevas Das, at the very least? So the Tabula says, you see from here that there's you don't have an exact equation between Mekach u'Memkar, between commercial transactions, and between Inyana Isha. So when it comes to Mekach u'Memkar, I sell you a product, so there are a million products on the market without any defect. I'm going to sell you a defective product. Why would I buy your defective product? I could buy any number of fine products without any defect. So that, if I don't disclose the defect, that's Mekach tos. When it comes to Inyane Ishus, Inyane Shiduchim, so every girl is unique, every person has their own milus. Kasha is Ivugum Kriyas Yamsov, so there's so much invested in a relationship that maybe we'll overlook certain other aspects. So the Stipler, in his final analysis, says that unless it's a situation where, if you were to discover this defect after marriage, it would lead to divorce, then there's no need to disclose that defect in advance of a marriage. So that's a novel approach. In the specific case at hand, many poskim may agree that where, in the specific case, the general lechra of poskim is that he's not a psu daka, and the medical knowledge is that he'll be fine having children. So maybe you could argue in that case there's what to talk about not to disclose. But in terms of the overarching principle, that the only thing you have to disclose is something that's going to lead to an immediate divorce in the event that it is discovered in the middle of marriage, so that many poskim disagree with. In terms of the specifics here, if you look at the Tshuvas Divrei Malkiel, Chelek Gimel Simen Sadi, he takes the exact opposite approach in both directions. He argues on the Chasan Sofer. He thinks that when it comes to Isser V'Heter, you have a piece of meat that is kosher b'di'evet b'shas hadchak, so there he thinks that once it's the psak is that it's kosher for me, it's kosher for everyone, so we don't draw distinctions. So he argues and one direction, not that chasm sofer. But he thinks over here, when it comes to the psuadaka shayla, he has the same shayla, and he thinks you have to disclose, unless it's such a situation where the overwhelming consensus among the medical community is that there's really nothing to be worried about, and then we paskin that he's not a psuadaka, and maybe you wouldn't have to disclose. If you look back at the source sheet here, there's a citation from the Sefer Chasidim. We don't always call the Sefer Chasidim as a normative halachic source, but it is from the Tkufas HaRishonim. So he writes over here, Lo yichas adam mum b'nei besa. A person shouldn't try to cover up any mum among his household. Im sricha banim akrava lizdavik, if there's a shidduch coming up. Im yesh lam choli she'ilu yodim oso hamizdavgim imahim oso choli lo yimizdavgim. If you have a type of medical situation where the people wouldn't make the shidduch if they knew they had that disease or that condition, the God let me ask to reveal a pen yomu kidushay tosayu, lest someone claim afterwards a claim of kidushay tos. So what are you going to do with the Gemara here of Zil Gali Yonasa Basminach? That seems pretty explicit that we're not concerned about the Psul Yachsin here, and he could go marry freely and not disclose. So the Nishmas Avram, which you have here a lengthy excerpt, he quotes pieces of that Stipler as well. So he quotes from Rav Yashiv Zichrono Levracha, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, that there's a difference between Yuchsim and other women. When it comes to Yuchsim, matters of Yichus are relatively subjective. The different people have different orientations towards Yichus. When it comes to a Mum Shebeguf, when it comes to something in the body, a physical condition, so there are many more discerning people would not want to marry someone with any kind of a mum, and you have to be more sensitive to disclosing information under those circumstances. So the general consensus of poskim when it comes to these matters, if you look, he quotes some other contemporary authorities there as well, it sounds like the general consensus is that if it's a condition that most people would not want to marry a person that has that mum, that medical condition, that should be disclosed. So I'll just go through a few examples that Poskim discuss. It's also excerpted here in the Mamre Kamos. So Moshe has a tshuva, Chelek, Evan Ezer, Chelek Dalit, Simon Ayin Gimel. Situation of a young man who had Morphan syndrome, which was a horrible condition that would likely be passed on to his progeny. So there he discusses what can we do for this guy to allow him to find a shidduch. He's going to have a difficulty finding someone willing to marry him where the likelihood is that the children are going to have this unfortunate machla. But he notes parenthetically over there that obviously you have to reveal this situation lest one claim that there is kiddushei tolos here. It's interesting, Moshe has another tshuva which seems at odds with this tshuva. I'm not sure how to be miyashiv them. There are other tshuvas that are consistent with this tshuva, but there's a tshuva in Chela Gimel, Evan Ezer, I think it's just noted on the second page here, Simon Kav Zion, an undated and unaddressed tshuva in which he talks about a woman, a young lady who was 20 years old and hasn't yet seen Dam. So it would seem that all medical indications are that there's going to be a problem. But he writes that maybe it's possible that she will be able to have children, and maybe you don't have to disclose, and at worst, just have an agreement with the girl's family that if after 4 years she's unable to have children, that the husband will divorce her without putting up a fight. So that's strange. I I asked Rabbi Tendler about this once. He, whatever yeshiva was unconvincing. So I don't know the stories with that tshuva, but it's inconsistent with other tshuvas from Moshe. Moshe has another tshuva in Chelek Dalet, in which he writes to a young lady who's a Baalas tshuva, who previously was mezana with other people, that she have to disclose that. So Moshe says, obviously you do. And that seems to be the general consensus. The Tzitz Eliezer has a similar tshuva, a 1982 tshuvas in Chelek Tazayin Simen Dalet, which he talks about a woman who have no rechem, so they're obviously as well, you have to disclose that that information. Rav Ozner, Shevet Alevi Chelek Vav Simen Reish Hei, has a discussion about a woman who is bald due to some medical condition. She wears a wig all the time, and the doctors say that it'll grow back in a few years. So you have to disclose that information. So technically speaking, he says, in terms of the halachos of mumin, even though we assume that kol mum apostle b'koin apostle b'isha, but that mum only apostles b'koin if he's absolutely bald. So if she has a little bit of hair, then that's not a mum. But he thinks that it's appropriate to reveal this information, not the least of because it'll come out eventually. He says, unless she's someone who's so tsanua that she'll never uncover hair at all, even when she's married, like Kimchis. And so then maybe there's what to talk about, but he advises against it anyway. It's not a good idea. Tshuvas Chalkos Yaakov, Evan Ezer Simen Pei, he has a tshuva slightly different direction. Here the shaila was that there was a couple that was engaged. They were engaged for 3 years. I'm not sure what was going on there. And right before the wedding, after a three-year engagement, he found out that she's 5 years older than she said she was. So at the time that they were, at the time that they met, she was supposed to have been 28, but she really was 31, and now she's 36. And is that grounds for calling off the wedding? So Rav Reish, the Chalkos Yaakov, doesn't think so. Number one, he doesn't think age is a mum, unless the misrepresentation was that she represented that she's of childbearing age, and she's really not of childbearing age. But within that range, he doesn't think that's a mum that would rise to the level of... It doesn't mean you should be dishonest. And even in situations where one could have a halachic argument that something doesn't have to be disclosed, if it's going to be withheld, it raises other issues of dishonesty beyond the particular halachic requirements. But he says they're engaged for 3 years. You could, if you cared about the age, you could have looked at a driver's license. You could have... found that out easily enough. He says that's a mum shebegoli. So he's not. She still had a driver's license. I'm sorry? In certain circles, it's a big deal to break off an engagement. Some people would rather get married and divorced than break an engagement. So these are some of the. Examples we have in tshuva literature on this topic. When it comes to yichus issues, a little bit of a different discussion, as we alluded to earlier. Dayan Weissman, Chasitzlok, Chela Gimel, Simin, Kufta Zayin, was asked a similar shal about breaking an engagement where the family found out that the nephew of the Kala married a non-Jew. So he thinks that's too far removed to really be of concern, but if it was siblings, then maybe there's what to talk about. But when it comes to yichus matters, a lot is subjective, a lot is a function of the community that that you live in. Okay, so once we establish what kind of information needs to be revealed, again, basically anything that would interfere with normal marital life or would be a situation that a normal person wouldn't want to get involved in, when do you reveal the information? So as the stipler alludes to in his essay, if you reveal the information before you go out on the first date, there won't be a first date. You're not gonna go anywhere. The approach that Rabbi Willig advocates, that I heard Rabbi Bleich say as well, and others similarly in print, is that such information should be, unless it's a situation where there's no potential of having children. So that's something that maybe should be discussed even before pursuing any relationship. But for the other kinds of situations, the appropriate time to reveal is somewhere in the around the midway point in a relationship. So if you're in a community where you date 3 times, so the midway point would be after a date or two. If you date for 3 months, the midway point would be after a month and a half. If Bosner has in that tshuva that we mentioned earlier, he says you shouldn't reveal it from the get-go. You should reveal it before you're ready to klitch the shidduch, after a date or two. It depends on where you are. Ramoshe, in the tshuva about the woman who was mizana before she became a baal tshuva, says you should reveal it, but you shouldn't reveal it. You shouldn't reveal it right away. In one of the articles, they quote from Mordechai Eliyahu, the former chief rabbi, Sephardi chief rabbi, that he used the lashon of mishehe v'shlish, that when the relationship is one third through, that would be an appropriate time to reveal. So you have to find the balance. I mean, if it's something that a reasonable person could live with, because everything else is in place, so then if it's something that no one would be able to live with, so maybe that's wrong. But if it's something that a reasonable person could live with, if it's under control, there is a past history of some illness which is under control now. Something like that should appropriately be revealed at the right time and not immediately.
There's a Roman Catholic who made a public speech about yeah.
Right.
And he was told by his Rav Moshe,
right.
That's his house. That's the last
day
I married.
Right. So that's a kasha on these tshuvas. Sure. The kasha and a maisa. So there are two issues. Number one, the potential halachic issue that there is a minority opinion poskim that would render him a psu daka, even though the consensus opinion is that he's not. And the second issue is, are we concerned about the potential medical implications, even though the doctors say that he's going to be fertile, that there's nothing to worry about, are we concerned maybe they're wrong? So those are two separate issues that would come up. Right. No, so that's a separate issue. You know, when it comes to in that shiloh of the Kilas Yaakov about the potential of Sudaka, so he says the consensus of the poskim is that he's much a love of Bakal. There's a minority opinion that would say otherwise. So is that potentially Kiddush Etos, if I'm going to present someone with a person that, according to minority opinion in poskim, would be us a love of Bakal? So that's an issue that's unique to the Sudaka shiloh. Okay, now what happens if there's a situation where the expectation is that the party himself or herself should disclose the situation, and you have medical knowledge and you know that they haven't disclosed? So is there a responsibility on someone else's part to come up with this information? So that might be an issue of Lo Samen Al Damriyachah. If you look at the citation from the Chavetz Chaim over here on page 1, also quoted in the name of Chaim Velazhner, he notes that there's the Smichas Parshios, or Smichas Pasuk, Lo Se Lech Rachil B'Machil Lo Samar Al Dam Reyecha. So sometimes there's no issue of Vechilus and no issue of Lashon Hara, where the consequence of not speaking up is going to be Lo Samar Al Dam Reyecha. So you have to balance those two factors. So leaving aside matters of professional confidentiality, which is not our topic tonight, but there is a tshuva in the Chelkas Yaakov, Simen Kuf Lamed Vav, in which he was asked, again, this is not the way we operate nowadays, but there was a situation of a firm doctor who was aware that there was a 20-year-old boy in Shidduchim who had a terminal illness, but the boy didn't know he had a terminal illness and his family didn't know. Somehow that was withheld from the person himself. So the shaila they asked was, they never told the parents, they never told the boy, and he's in Shidduchim, he's about to get engaged. So does the doctor have to reveal this information to the appropriate people? So the Chelkas Yaakov says yes, L'samel Damriyecha, L'fnei Iver. And Sicily asked also in that tshuva about the woman without the rechem. He says the family is unwilling to reveal that information, so that Sicily says to the doctor, it's your responsibility. Again, leaving aside matters of professional responsibility and confidentiality and HIPAA laws. I think the general mahalach hamechuver is you don't have to lose your license to save one person, because then you won't be saving many other people. Be that as it may, those are complications that have to be addressed. A relatively prominent pediatric oncologist told me once that he always encourages his patients, even those who have been in remission for a long time, to disclose the past history to a potential spouse. And he said that most people listened to him. He said he remembered one case of someone that didn't listen to him, and the mother of the young man said to him that she wasn't inviting him to the wedding, because if people would see him at the wedding, they'd figure out why he was there, and the alarm bells would go off. But generally speaking, something like that, where there is a history, should be revealed with the appropriate sensitivity and with the involvement of Rabbanim, with the involvement of both the mental health professionals where appropriate and physicians where appropriate, that everyone should be on the same page and be aware of the background to make an informed decision about what needs to be revealed and to provide the potential spouse, family, etc., with the relevant information so that they can make that informed decision. It's ultimately, these are important matters, factors that have to go into these equations, but they're factors, of some of many factors. Sometimes there's a different calculus where you ask the question directly. The Stipler's quoted in one of these collections as saying that you know, sometimes when you're asked a question, you can say, "I'm not an information service. I'm not a Lishkat Modi'in, and I don't have to. You don't have to provide every little detail." I just saw it in one of Yitzchak Zilberstein's works. I think the Baruch Inashi in last week's Parsha quoted a story from the Chazon Ish that someone once asked the Chazon Ish about a shidduch, about a certain bacher. He asked, does he know how to learn? So the Chazon Ish responded, there are people that know how to learn better than him. And he said, is he Yirei Shamayim? So the Chazon Ish said, there are people who are bigger Yirei Shamayim. So the person who's asking interpreted that as, okay, he knows how to learn pretty well. There are bigger Mesmidim. He's a pretty good Yirei Shamayim. There are bigger Yirei Shamayim. They went ahead of the Shidduch and they lived happily ever after. But the Chazon Ish remarked to someone who found out about this. No, when he said, there are people who learn, know to learn better than me, meant to say this guy doesn't know to learn at all. And when there are people who have more Yirei Shamayim, this guy, I know Yirei Shamayim. But on some level, what's meant to be is meant to be. So these are just some of the issues that come up that it's important to be aware of, but obviously where L'maisa Shailos come up, it should be addressed in consultation with Rabbanim and the appropriate professionals.